You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer. Today, I am joined by Catherine Smith from the great state of Georgia. We're going to be chatting about e-commerce websites, and we may actually surprise you when you hear what we mean by e-commerce. So Catherine and I were just chatting a moment ago before hitting record, and she gave me a fascinating definition, which I think is not what most of us think about, but it makes total sense when it comes to what e-commerce really is. So I think that's a great place to start. Catherine, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So I asked you, okay, you know, we're talking about e-commerce websites. So this is like, you know, stores and things online. You said, oh no, David, e-commerce is actually a much more expanded definition these days. So why don't you sort of explain?
Yeah, definitely. So I think the definition of e-commerce is totally expanded. So when most people say e-commerce, they're thinking of people that are selling physical products online in a store. But the definition of e-commerce is expanding. And I define it as literally any website with a payment gateway. So that can be a product-based website. That could be a website that has digital downloads or digitally based products for consultants and coaches and things like that. But really any website with a payment gateway is what I would consider to be an e-commerce website.
So historically, you know, when I think back to the like the early 1990s when I was like hard coding websites in HTML, a lot of websites early on were brochures. And to a certain extent, they still are in a lot of businesses. They might look, you know, a little bit more high tech or sexier than they used to, but they don't do very much functionally. So I wonder if you can sort of walk us through sort of your general philosophy around what the role of a website is. Obviously, we've just been talking about the ability to have transactions on a website, but beyond that.
Beyond transactions, I think your website can assist you in business in a lot of different ways. So obviously for like coaches and consultants, you can do things like book meetings and book consultations through the website. You know, for traditional e-commerce, you can do transactions and things like that. But there are lots of other platforms and integrations that work with today's or work with modern websites that help you in the business. So you could connect your customer relationship management, so CRM system, to a website and have that help with your customer onboarding. So instead of sending documents back and forth, you know, part of your onboarding could be done through your website. Customer engagement, project management, like all of these things could be managed through platforms that have like a unified face through your website. So I think like the potential is endless. There are endless options out there in terms of what you can do. But at the end of the day, it really should help you in your business.
So one of the things that, you know, I struggle with is knowing who are the right candidates for a service out there when it comes to a business that needs a website. Pretty much, not universally, but pretty much every business can benefit from a web presence, right? A location-specific business like, you know, a vendor in a stadium, right? They have a captive audience. They don't necessarily need to promote their business online. Although there's ways that you could actually probably benefit as I'm saying this. But many, many other businesses can benefit from an online presence. There are a range of business sizes, business capabilities, et cetera. And I wonder if you can sort of walk us through the landscape that you see of businesses that are out there who are using sites that have the capabilities you've just been describing and where their opportunities and challenges might exist.
Sure. So there are a lot of people in entrepreneurship and in business. And so the area or the segments that I focus on are solopreneurs or individual entrepreneurs and small businesses, which would be in theory up to like 100 employees, but I very rarely work with more than maybe 10 to 15 employees. So extremely small businesses. And the reason why I kind of focus on this area is that there are a lot of people, there are so many options out here that are available for you to either build your own website or have a website built for you. And those options range from absolutely free to thousands and thousands of dollars. And so it's really difficult to kind of vet those individually and say, okay, well, this is going to be right for my business, especially when you're talking about investing thousands of dollars.
How would you like to become part of the More Perfect Marketing family? You can. When you join our free online community, More Perfect Marketers, inside you'll get access to our collection of marketing cheat sheets to help you streamline your business growth, as well as the videos from David's Niche Challenge, which will teach you the counterintuitive approach to selling more by focusing on a narrower audience. To join for free, please visit mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. Now back to the show.
So the opportunity here is where people feel like, hey, I either don't have resources, but I have the time and knowledge to build a website, or I don't have the time and knowledge to build a website, but I do have resources to pay somebody else to do this. And so I work with people across that spectrum to say, hey, here are the things that we can do. Like, here's how we get you online. And the primary focus is to establish an online presence. And I understand that, to use your example, that stadium vendor may not need an online presence, but if you don't set your own online presence, like, you don't get to decide what comes up when people Google you, you know, should they Google you. I'm not sure how many people are Googling the stadium vendors. But, you know, if somebody says, you know what, I got a really good hot dog from that guy, I want him to cater my wedding. If they Google you, like, what shows up online? So if you don't have a website, if you don't have your own presence, you can't decide what shows up when people search for you. So I definitely think all businesses of all sizes need to have some sort of online presence that they control. But within that, making sure that your online presence works for you and has the information that you want to portray to the public, but also within your budget and within your resources and within your the capability or your capacity to kind of keep that updated and have the information remain current. That's where I specialize in finding solutions for entrepreneurs and extremely small businesses.
So having the control is clearly important, right? We don't want to have to deal with somebody else controlling that narrative or reviews out there that you don't have the ability to sort of counterbalance in some way. Mm-hmm. What is the process that you go through, and what are the criteria that you consider as you're working on a project with a business, whether it's a new website or maybe it's replacing their current web presence that may be insufficient. So if you can talk about sort of maybe what you're encountering and what your priorities are, that would be helpful.
Sure. So the understanding what that strategic objective is important. So if somebody says, hey, I'm not online, but I want to be online. So I'm trying to think of a couple of use cases. So if someone says, I want to show up when someone Googles ramen place near me, then that's one type of web presence, you know, or versus I want to sell my homemade soaps online. That's a different type of online presence. So really understanding what the goal is, like, do you just want to be online and to control your presence to make sure that when people Google your business, certain things show up, or that you show up before your competitors, or whatever the goal is there, to make sure, you know, what that strategy is. Make sure, understand what that strategy is, and then understand, I guess, on an ongoing basis, how much time and energy do you have or want to put into your website? So I know a lot of people that are just like, listen, I change the homepage every month. I get a new artist in here. We need to rebrand this every week because, you know, the new artist needs the new colors and things like that. Or I have an entire team of people that can work on this. So it doesn't, you know, like, it's not important to me that it changes, you know, it's difficult or to update, versus people that say, listen, after I put this online, I never want to touch it again. Mm-hmm. So to a large extent, that's going to determine what type of solution it is. So the first step is to determine what the strategy is. Like, what is the goal? What are we trying to accomplish here? Second step is to determine, like, how much time and effort and energy you want to put into that on an ongoing basis. And then the third part would be determining what can, like, how to implement that within the constraints of the budget that you have. So most of the time in my particular segment, people don't just have unlimited budgets, although that would be nice, you know, like, let's put that out there in the universe. So, you know, with the budget that you have, with the time and energy and resources that you have, how can we accomplish your goals as effectively as possible? So that's the process.
So budget is often a big thing, for particularly for small businesses, and especially for solopreneurs, where mm-hmm. they are responsible for themselves to generate all the income in their business. Mm-hmm. Where are the where are the big expenses in website development that you know it's important to know, hey, if I don't really have a large budget, I really shouldn't be dreaming in that direction, right?
That's a good question, because there are so many platforms out here that kind of exist at different price points. But in the solopreneur, small business entrepreneur space, I think the more stuff a platform does, the more expensive it will be. So if you have, you know, several thousand dollars or at least several hundred dollars a month, you can get a platform that does a lot of things. You could get the platform that has the CRM, that does the invoicing, that tracks time, that, you know, uploads files and does security and all of this. But if you don't have that several hundred dollar a month budget, you can still have those things. They'll just be on four different platforms. So there are trade-offs there. And I know that's not really a really good answer to that question. But the budget is, if you say, hey, I want all of these things and I want to manage all of these things with the click of one button, that's where you say, okay, from a budgetary perspective, that might be a challenge. We can do it with these three platforms, or we can do, you know, we can prioritize those things and kind of make it happen with a variety of platforms.
So in your business, are you specializing in a sort of mastery around a particular framework, infrastructure, platforms that are being used, or are you looking for different solutions based on the needs of the client?
A little bit of both. So I have a few platforms that I spend a lot of time on. Like I would say maybe more than 70% of my clients are on Shopify, just mm-hmm. because it's an e-commerce platform. However, I have clients on virtually every platform that you can think of, e-commerce or not. And some of them, I've actually suggested those solutions that are not WordPress, that are not Shopify, that are not Wix, because they needed something entirely different. Yeah. And I found some really cool platforms out there that do some really interesting things. So it's a combination of both.
And I think that's useful, right? That you, as the trusted advisor in the website, you know, arena, have a range of knowledge, right? So you're not always saying, hey, I'm a Shopify specialist, come to me only if, you know, and trying to make Shopify work for mm-hmm. every situation, which frankly can be problematic, as I think the two of us both know, right? So I think that's valuable that you come to a new client with knowledge of what's out there across the board. So why don't you share maybe one or two examples of a time when, you know, a client might have come to you, had something specific in mind, and you guided them in a different direction, and sort of what was behind that that thought process?
Oh, that's exciting. That's actually a great question. So I had a client who was a coach, and she didn't feel like she was very technical, and also didn't feel like she had a ton of time to devote to kind of updating her website. But she did want to do the lead process. So the process of having new clients reach out to her and get information about her services and schedule a booking. She wanted that to happen. And so the main platform that people kind of in her specific industry are using is very expensive. Well, not very expensive. It's expensive for, like, if you're at the point where you haven't quite tested out your audience just yet. It's a commitment from a price perspective. And so I said, hey, well, this platform does it all for, you know, several hundred dollars per month, where you literally just, you know, click it in and it does your whole funnel for you. And she said, well, I really just don't want to spend that kind of money. We haven't tested this out yet. I want to just really start up kind of lean, have sure. really lean overhead. And so I found a brand new platform. Actually, it's not a brand new platform. I'll take that back. I used it in one of my jobs when I was a web developer, but the platform had morphed since then. And so I said, okay, well, let me take a look at this. And it had a website builder that was really easy to use. It had really simple and straightforward billing and a lot of the built-in features to allow her to kind of capture leads and do scheduling. And for her specifically, send out emails and worksheets and uploads and things like that that were super important to her. And so I learned about a new platform. She got a platform that works for her. And I think that was a really cool experience. So that's just one example.
Yeah, it's amazing how many options there are, and it's growing. You know, every few months I hear about the hot new thing in our space. As marketers, there are now entire infrastructures that are white labeled, mm-hmm. right? That you see over and over again under different brand names. But there's a lot of different solutions out there, and I think being able to pair them up with the right set of needs is very, very valuable. So mm-hmm. I'm glad that you're keeping your finger on the pulse of what's going on out there.
It's a challenge for sure.
Yeah. I'm curious as a marketer and a marketing service provider, where do you look to sort of stay on top of stuff?
Oh, there are lots of different places that I look. And I know that, you know, there's some strong feelings about it, but AppSumo is my favorite platform ever. I probably spend a little bit too much time on AppSumo, but I think it's a really good way to, like you said, stay on the pulse of things. So yeah. AppSumo and Product Hunt, like kind of products or platforms in that category, are filled with people who are coming up with solutions for modern problems. And so you can get an idea of some of the trends. You're like, okay, I see SEO is a pain point. There are so many SEO platforms that are popping up here. Yes, there are lots of SEO. So what are people looking for when it comes to SEO? And the good thing about those platforms is that they're basically filled with super users. There are people that are trying every platform out there, and they're saying, hey, this did work for my product business. This did not work for my real estate business. You know, mm-hmm. this did work for this type of business. And so it's a really good way. Even reading the reviews is like, okay, that's super helpful. So I have a client that has the same particular problem. You know, if you don't have a ton of time and understanding about webhooks, this is probably not going to be the best platform.
Yeah.
So I think those types of platforms where they aggregate new and kind of alpha and beta platforms and release them to the public like that, those are really, really great platforms to kind of keep up with, not just what is coming out from a software perspective, but also how is it responding to the needs of the segment of people that I work with.
So as a fellow AppSumo addict, I appreciate where you're coming from. I will say that, and you mentioned like a brand new platform a moment ago, and then you sort of said, well, it's actually not a brand new platform. That one of the challenges with AppSumo and other platforms, which what their business model is, if in case you don't know what we're talking about, is it's a lifetime pay once and you get access to this tool or whatever it is they're selling. They sell courses and other templates and things as well for the duration of its existence. Now, that's a really important thing to think about mm-hmm. because many of the things that are offered up don't actually have a very long life after, you know, the investment. I have plenty of things that I have purchased through those types of platforms that have ultimately just been shut down. And so while I think your perspective is really quite good, which is that you're understanding people's needs based on reviews, the priorities that people have around things. And so it may not necessarily apply to those specific tools, but now you have a broader understanding of what the market's looking for. Mm-hmm. That said, a new platform, you know, isn't always the one to build an entire business around.
It's usually not. It is usually not. Like the AppSumo and Product Hunt crowd, they are a very startup kind of like early adopter, very in like content to learn how to use a platform and grow along with the platform. Like there is a certain type of user that's going to be okay with that. I usually don't work with those people. So that's why I said I am an AppSumo fan. But the solutions that I recommend to clients are always solutions that are a little bit more established, just because customer support is an extremely important part of the service that I offer. So I'm not going to give you a tool that's not quite finished yet, especially if one of your concerns is time and or resources. So the challenges of my particular client base do not lend themselves well to kind of startup platforms. So we usually go with something a little bit more established.
So this actually dovetails really nicely with something that I had read that you had commented on, which is that the website is an important tool in creating both credibility and trust. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I say it dovetails nicely because obviously a tool that doesn't work or that, you know, shuts down its entire platform, well, that doesn't instill a lot of trust in the business that's using it. So can you talk a little bit about credibility and trust when it comes to the web presence and websites?
Sure. So I think that people know, like unprofessional, I guess we'll call it unprofessional. So they know when something kind of feels a little bit hinky. So if you see something and you're like, wow, this looks like a really well-made product, and someone says like, DM me to buy it. Yeah. It's like a red flag. And, you know, nobody is going to take you seriously if you're just like, DM me to buy it. You're just like, what are you doing over there? Like, how are you making a stand-up product, but also like you don't have a set platform, you know, with a return and a refund policy you know, to sell it on. Mm-hmm. So I think a big important part of basically selling anything to anyone. So when people are parting with their money, they want to get some kind of guarantee, you know, that they're going to get what they have spent money for, and that there's some kind of warranty or guarantee along with that. And so the more paper trail there is, basically, the more trust that there can be. So if you have a website with a refund policy, people can check out the refund and return policy and say, okay, that's good. They can look at the reviews and say, okay, other people have purchased this and it, you know, it hasn't, you know, like blown up in their house or something like that, you know, so they can kind of look at that social proof and they can say, okay, well, if this doesn't work out for me, there is a refund policy, or this definitely is a legitimate business. And nowadays search engines are kind of requiring that websites have contact information in their footer. So most websites these days will at the very minimum have some sort of address or phone number or contact information at the bottom. And that's what I call a paper trail. So people know, hey, this is a real business that's probably going to be around for a while. You know, they're not just going to take my money and run, and I'm getting some kind of guarantee for the money that I'm giving them that I will get value in return. And so the more you can kind of set up that established and professional looking presence, the better it is for building trust with your customers and gaining new customers. So because they feel secure, they're like, okay, established, this is not a Gmail address. Okay, cool. I'm not buying this through a DM. Okay, cool. This website has a return policy. Okay, other people have reviewed this product. All of those are green flags when it comes to people wanting to part with their money. And so I think it's extremely important to have those things in place.
I have yet to be offered something via DM, but I hear about it all the time, and I got to say I'm learning some very tactical Twitter marketing right now, and one of the big sort of tactics that's highly effective according to everybody in this space is selling via direct messages. And I'm like, that just does not, that sounds a little sketchy to me, but then I think about it. And you know, I do that on LinkedIn. I meet new people and I get them onto my calendar and we continue the conversation in what is the proper term? IRL, in real life. Right. So maybe there's some legitimacy to it, but yeah, I think that the idea of, you know, PayPal me or Venmo me the money, via DM is probably a bit sketchy. So you raised something interesting a moment ago about the expectations or requirements of search engines to have some stuff in the footer. And I think a lot of websites that are DIY websites that I've encountered are missing a lot of the important elements that are either required by search engines or required for advertising platforms as well. Can you speak a little bit more about some of those expectations and requirements in order to actually appear legitimate to the gatekeepers of the internet?
Sure. From a search engine perspective, the search engine is really just looking for relevance and legitimacy. Like those are the key points. And so there are a few things that signal relevance and legitimacy to a search engine. Does your website have a location listed, even if it's a city and a state? And contact information like a phone number or email is even better. Does it have a cookie policy, privacy policy, GDPR, if you're operating internationally or in the EU, return policy and refund policy for e-commerce sites specifically? And I didn't know it, but search engines are specifically looking for that information, and not just search engines, advertising platforms as well. I didn't even actually know this when I first started building Shopify websites. I tried to list, like Shopify has a native Pinterest integration. So as I was trying to connect Pinterest to my client's website, Pinterest is like, hey, we noticed you didn't have a return policy. So Pinterest even requires you to have those policies on your site. And Google also requires it. And I think Meta requires them as well, for you to have those policies very prominently listed on your site before you can link your site to any of those advertising platforms. And so I think those are the important things. The contact information physical location information, those legal policies, especially when it comes to cookies policy or privacy policy, an end user policy would be an added bonus. And then for e-commerce sites, refund or shipping policies, things like that. And I forgot.
There's one other that I thought of, because it was marketed to all of us marketers about a year ago, and that's accessibility. Mm-hmm. So sites that maybe are not friendly to somebody who's not sighted, for example.
Yes, accessibility is definitely the new frontier. And I'm even just like I'm taking in all of the new tools that help with accessibility, because accessibility is something that I haven't had a ton of visibility into. I understand that certain color combinations don't do well from my days of being a web designer, but I didn't understand the many, 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 many ways that websites could be inaccessible. And part of that is because technology, assistive technology, has evolved. And so what we're trying to do is just make websites available for people that are, that have different varying levels of, ability to see colors and hear and things like that, but also assistive technologies designed to help people are also reading sites as well. So to be able to provide context and make sure things that flow in an order that kind of makes sense, accessibility is extremely important. So there are lots of tools that are platform agnostic, but also built into some of these website platforms that will help with accessibility.
I think when any specialist digs into the nitty gritty, like we've just been doing around their topic, it becomes apparent that this isn't an easy thing to do yourself. Whether you're using a DIY platform that guides you through all these steps, or you're engaging, a professional like yourself, businesses need to be aware of what they're actually doing when it comes to creating a web presence and making sure that they are, protected, that they are being able to reach and speak to everybody who might encounter them, as you've just been talking about. And there's a benefit to having somebody who can sort of hold their hand and walk them through that process.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So I would never say you can't do this yourself. I will just say that having the help of someone that does it all the time will make it so much faster. That's it.
So you talked a little bit about the types of businesses that you tend to support, working on your definition of e-com sites, which involves pretty much any sort of transaction that might appear on the site. Mm-hmm. Where can people learn more about you and the services that you provide?
Sure. So my website is waltonbirch.com, and I'm also online. I'm all around the web. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm also on Instagram, actually. My Instagram account has some DIY marketing information and tips for people that are either in that DIY space, or they're like, I'm not quite ready to hire someone else to do this. So on Instagram, I am at KRS_consulting. But generally more information about my services and me is on waltonbirch.com.
So we'll leave links to both of those. Walton Birch, what does that stand for? What does it mean?
what had happened was, so when I went full-time into consulting, I actually thought it was just going to be a break from corporate America. I thought it would be a temporary break from corporate America. 6 months before COVID hit, obviously I did not know that COVID would hit. I knew that, you know, as a consulting firm, I needed to come across with a very professional name. And so I was like, you know, like I gotta laugh at this now, because I'm like, just one day, absolutely joking with my brother, I said, what's like the most white guy name I could kind of come up with? And so I went with Walton, because that's a street I used to live on. And any tree, it was going to be oak or birch or something like that. So it ended up being Walton Birch. And my brother was like, yeah, that sounds like a white guy. And I was like, done. Like, but it's also because it's unique, it was very easy to get like the domain, and I can set up really easy Google alerts. So I was going for something that's unique and easily trackable and traceable, that I wouldn't have issues like securing online as well. So that was a strategy there.
I love it. At the first, when I first read it, I thought prep school. So I think we're pretty close, right?
Good to know.
Yeah. Well, it would be .edu, but yes, I got it.
I'll reserve that one too.
Perfect. Well, Catherine Smith, this has been a lot of fun and insightful, and I really appreciate you making some time to chat with us.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been fun.
Indeed. Folks, this has been another episode of More Perfect Marketing. Thanks for hanging out with us, and hope to see you back here again real soon. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.